Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Bad boys.
Stop singing. Nobody wants to hear that. Bad singing. Nobody wants to hear that. Anyways, this segment of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is brought to you by the Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba. The CGA Association of Manitoba is the largest, fastest growing, and most diverse accounting body in Manitoba. Did you know that CGAs are among the top 5% of income earners in Canada with an average yearly salary of $72,000 for new graduates? For more information, contact the CGA Association of Manitoba at cga-manitoba.org or give them a call at 204-477-1256. The CGA Association of Manitoba. We see more than numbers.
Drew, did you know that I'm certified?
Yeah, you are certified. And certifiable is also what you are.
No, I'm certified. I've taken financial accounting and managerial accounting.
Okay, that's not the same thing, but I'm glad for you anyway.
I received my certification.
Yeah. You received a lot of different documents in the mail. Most of them are restraining orders, I suspect.
I have a lot of participant ribbons.
Yeah, exactly. Not a good week for your Winnipeg Jets, ladies and gentlemen. You know, one win in... I mean... The record belies how bad of a week it really was. They got the win on Tuesday against Florida. They had took them until overtime to do so. Then Thursday against Toronto, a game that they certainly had in their control with about 5 minutes to go in the game, and they fell apart just terribly in the last 5 minutes. You know, most people are... This was the week. This was the week where you had to make hay, and the Winnipeg Jets simply couldn't do it. And a lot of people are now beginning to wonder about the viability of this team as a, not even a playoff, going to make the playoffs, but even as a playoff contender.
I realize that they have injuries in Dustin Byfuglien and Zach Bogosian. Those are significant. The concerns for me are more so work ethic concerns, passion concerns. I didn't see anything from the team this week that would inspire any form of confidence in their ability to fight through adversity. And that's where the concern lies for me. I didn't see any significant leadership, any displays of, you have to wonder about that. Not to say there aren't any leaders in the room, but if they can have the ear of the other players. I didn't see any passion when they got scored against to make it 2-2 in the Leafs game. I don't think there's anybody there was nobody on the team who thought they were going to win, and they played that way.
Mm-hmm.
They went through the motions in two home games, and people pay hard-earned money to go see those games, and I thought it was embarrassing performance. And you're right, Drew, the record belies what actually occurred. And you win one game. You win in overtime, by the way, and that's significant down the road. You have two regulation wins in 10 games this year. Two regulation wins in 10 games. You come home to play a Florida team that has injuries on the back end and is not that deep, and has a poor goaltending with Scott Clemenson and Jose Theodore. Then you come and you play the Toronto Maple Leafs, who outworked the Winnipeg Jets from puck drop to the end of the game. They were outworked and outcoached, as far as I was concerned. And I have some concerns about the team's reaction to Claude Noel, because to me, when you watch that Leafs game, Randy Carlyle had less talent on the ice than did the Winnipeg Jets, and his team worked harder. They forechecked harder, they competed harder, and they didn't back down, not that they had much to back down from, but when the Winnipeg Jets got punched in the mouth at 2-0, they just lay down.
The things that Richie is touching on here are extremely important for this team. I mean, leadership, passion, effort, all of these things, and what happened with this homestand is you come back from three straight losses on the road, which were performances when you got beat by good teams and you were undisciplined, and you got absolutely spanked by the Lightning. I mean, that was a terrible performance. We don't need to say it again. Everybody sat on that terrible performance for 3 days. But I agree with Richie, and the two home games that we just saw, it's not really... They got 2 out of 4 points, so in that sense, okay, it wasn't a complete disaster, but it was the efforts. They could have easily lost that Florida game if it wasn't for an overtime goal. There are issues here. Ed Tate of the Winnipeg Free Press wrote about this, you know, the culture of the team. There's problems here with the culture of the team, and...
We've heard about the... Sorry for interrupting. We've heard about this change of the culture from Atlanta. You know, we've got to change the culture. This team has been here for 18 months or so now. You know,
right.
The culture from Atlanta, how long does it change to change a locker room culture? You know, I'll give them last year. But you're right. This year, there's been no, you know, the team last year, they at least seemed to give a damn. They at least put out the effort. I was talking to fans after the game on Thursday, and these are reasonable people.
Yep.
They're not, you know, fly not by like the us. Seat of their night. They're not fly by the seat of their night. They're reasonable people who paid their hard-earned money. And they said, you know, I can understand if there's a lack of talent, but at least last year it seemed like they gave a damn, especially on home ice. That Tuesday game was the worst hockey game I've seen in my life.
Well, it was a bad game. I mean, right before Brian Little scored that beautiful overtime winner, the Jets were getting booed. And guys, let's be honest here. The Jets forwards alone, not I mean, on defense right now they're using Paul Postman, Zach Redmond, who was great on Thursday night. But their forward group alone was more talented than Florida's and was more talented. You've got lots of first-round picks. Evander Kane, Jokinen, Wheeler. I mean, Ladd has got two cups, and he's a first-round pick. They've got some talent here. It's simple things that they weren't doing. And you look at, like, guys that are busting their buns. You know, Thorburn's chucking the knuckles. You got Slater. All those guys are doing their job. I'm not calling out individual guys. I'm saying as a group, the effort was not there. Okay, I mean, you weren't forechecking. You weren't finishing your hits. Things that you have to do every single game in and game out. The passion was not there, and you got guys taking penalties again at inopportune times. It's things like that. Where fans are looking at this and they're going, what's going on here? This doesn't look like a team that's, you know, in the 10th game of the season. This looks like a team that, you know, is basically out there for a Sunday skate. I mean, where's the life here?
You're not calling out individual guys. Well, I will. I mean, was Ole Jokinen dressed on Thursday?
No.
Is Evander Kane flown back from Florida yet?
Evander Kane, I thought, had a presence on. There was two guys, and I watched the game on Thursday from my seats.
Yep.
And there were two guys that at least looked like they gave a damn on the forward group. That was Burmistrov, and that was Kane. Those are the only two guys I thought. They may have not had the results, but they at least looked like they tried.
Yeah, Drew. I mean, Burmistrov's move across the blue line to protect the puck and stupid situation.
Okay, I didn't say it was perfect, but at least they looked like they gave a damn. The other forwards might as well not have been there.
To me, the whole team forward group mailed it in on Thursday except for Brian Little. I mean, I don't even know if I didn't see half the play. I didn't know if they dressed. And Tuesday's performance was embarrassing. To sit on an absolutely I'm going to say use the word embarrassing again twice, and I mean it. Embarrassing performance in Tampa on Friday. That was an embarrassing performance. It was 6-0 before halfway through the game. You sat on that on Friday. You flew back, and you had till Tuesday to stew over that, to sit there and think, oh, you know, we really got embarrassed. And you come out on Tuesday, mail that one in too? I mean, come on.
This team is easy and soft on itself.
And I got to be honest, and I think that this criticism is completely and totally warranted. And we don't toss it out. You know, I don't toss it out. I haven't said this yet since they've come back, a lack of effort. These two games were a lack of passion and a lack of effort. And who do you even see out there? I mean, and it's the same mistakes, Drew. The stupid penalties, the same mistakes on the ice, the same turnovers in the middle of the, you know, turnovers with passes in the middle of the ice, the same stupid trying to protect the puck along the blue line. Just, and that's what's concerning to me. And that you're starting to see a trend. And you got two regulation wins in 10 games. You're almost a quarter of the way through the season. You can't have that happen, and you haven't really played a hard schedule.
Richie, in a condensed schedule where you're not a team who can afford a complete team effort, and every team has injuries right now, and the Jets happen to have major injuries on defense.
Now hold on.
I know. I'm not saying that's an excuse. I'm prefacing my statement.
Let Richie respond there.
Bob Flynn has missed a couple games, okay, and his loss is significant.
Yep.
You can't understate it, really, to me. Overstated, excuse me. Zach Bogosian's been out. What about the New York Islanders? No Lubin Vrsnovsky. Yep. And their defensive depth isn't as good as the Jets. What about them? They seem to be faring okay. You know, what about Jason Spezza in Ottawa? What about Jared Cowan in Ottawa? Take the injuries, throw them out. Start playing. You don't have any injuries up front. You have none. Mietinen doesn't count. He's your 13th guy anyways. You have no injuries up front, and the forward play has been embarrassing. Has Blake Wheeler been playing this year?
Blake Wheeler has been one of the most problem. I mean, he's got four goals, and that's all nice and good and all, but those are some of the cheapest four goals you're ever going to see.
Yeah, just overall, sustained pressure. Has this team sustained any pressure since the first week and a half of the season? And again, you can lose 4-2 and play a good game.
You can win 3-2. Pardon, was it 3-2 or 4-3? 3-2. On Tuesday.
And you can play awful.
Against Florida, was
that
it 3-2?
That Florida game was the worst hockey game I've ever seen in my life. It was pathetic.
We've obviously never watched our rec hockey team. But I mean, this is the point here, Richie. I agree with you with the injuries. Everyone has injuries, especially when you have a short training camp. But the problem here is that the Jets are repeating failures. They're repeating bad habits. And they don't seem to, you mentioned adversity, and we know they came back from the deficits, but it's adversity within themselves. It's not necessarily just the score in the game. It's what are guys accepting their roles? And this is very important in hockey. I mean, hockey's a team game. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, people, you know, like to point out mistakes, and sure, Paul Postma made a horrible mistake. I think Postma's been pretty good. He made a mistake on the power play. Fine. It's not. It's more than that. The team is not going out there and doing their jobs, and they'll admit it to you themselves. And they're going to be out of the playoff race in 2 weeks if they keep playing like this.
They can admit it to themselves all they want, or admit it publicly. Do something about it. Do something about it. You know the problem. Well, we have to change the culture. How long does it take to change a culture? Somebody let me know. You're going out and you're playing a game every second day. Just give me a ballpark. Is it 3 years it takes to change the culture of an organization? 4 years? 5 years? How long does it take until there can be some accountability and not these excuses for what you see on the ice day in, day out?
And you can change the forward lines all you want. Apparently, Ladd, Little, and Wheeler are going to be back together. That's not what it's about. You can move the chess piece around the board as much as you want, but unless you start gelling together as a team, going out there doing your job, this showing some passion, it's not going to matter who you put with whoever. There's a lot of guys with lots of talent and lots of experience, and a lot of guys that should be putting the puck in the net that aren't. That's not what it's about. It's about playing as a team, and whatever role is asked of you, you do it. And that's not what's happening right now.
If you're trying to change the culture of a team, then explain the signings to me. If that's your sole intent, if that's your underlying intention of what you're trying to do here in Winnipeg Jets, it's to change the culture of the team, then explain the signings to me.
Well, let's go to break. We'll continue this up on the other side of the break. We're well over time. We're talking about the Jets, the week that was for them. It was not a very good week. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's McPhillips Toyota Game Day here on TSN 1290. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment of the program is brought to you by David Carr of Monopoly Realty. Buying and selling a house is one of the most important and stressful life experiences. It's not an experience to be undertaken by yourself or left in the hands of a rank amateur. David Carr of Monopoly Realty takes the stress out of your real estate experience while you are secure in the knowledge that a true real estate professional is looking after your transaction. David Carr of Monopoly Realty can be reached at 230-6129. One more time, David Carr of Monopoly Realty, 230-6129. Gentlemen, let's transition. We spoke about the Jets last week.
Yep.
The games against, you know, Florida on Tuesday, the Leafs on Thursday. They play the Sens at 1 o'clock today here on this fine station. We'll talk about that in the last hour of the show. We have James Gordon from the Ottawa Citizen coming up at 9 a.m. After Ottawa, you look at the schedule and it is a bull. You got the Philadelphia Flyers on Tuesday.
Yep.
You have the Pittsburgh Penguins on Friday, and you have the Boston Bruins on Sunday. If the Jets don't win today, this is the most winnable of the next four games.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, the other three are on home ice, but those three teams are much more talented than the Winnipeg Jets are.
Yes.
This is the most winnable of those four games, of the next four games. If the Jets lose today, it's not inconceivable that they're going to have a five-game losing streak after next Sunday's game against Boston. Not inconceivable at all. If they end up losing five in a row, and this is an if, but if they do, is that the end of their playoff chances this year?
Oh, yeah. They lose five in a row, they're done. See you later. In a 48-game season, yeah, you're done.
You can't lose two or three in a row now and not be a concern. Five in a row could possibly be lights out on the playoffs, but you know, the Senators, they're fifth in the Eastern Conference, and, you know, they lost to Carolina on Thursday night in overtime. They're playing pretty darn well without Spezza and without Jared Cowan.
No excuses being made there.
They're getting the job done. Kyle Turris looks good. Daniel Alfredson, I mean, you talk about Jaromir Jagr, and you talk about Timu Solani. What about Daniel Alfredson getting the job done? He looks unbelievable. And the Ottawa Senators, well coached by Paul McLean. You know, you've got guys like Peter Wierkoch and Benoit on the blue line playing well. The Senators are not going to be an easy game this afternoon. They're well rested at home. But, you know, you've got a very difficult schedule in front of you. With this Eastern Conference heavy schedule, Eastern Conference only schedule, you've got four. They're currently in a 5 out of 6 game home swing, if you want to call it that, with only one road game in between. But on that road trip, when you go, after the 3 games next week, and then you're going to go
9 of your next 11 on the road.
9 of 11 on the road, Drew. So you're going to play starting on the Tuesday after next Tuesday against the Sabres. You're going to go through that Eastern swing, and you're going to play Carolina, Philly, and New Jersey, which are back-to-back in the Rangers. The Jets have to get it. The Jets have to get it going now. Because if you don't get it going now, it's going to be more and more difficult as you get into the middle part of the season. It's going to be difficult. And, you know, they have guys on the team that have been there. There's a lot of veteran leadership in the room, and it's only in there that I mean, we can talk about it. That's what we do. We have a radio show here, and we talk about the Jets. But if they don't do it, I mean, we can't, you know, I'd love to, you know, go in there and do it for the Jets. But it's a huge character.
I think your opportunity to be an NHL player has passed you by.
It did, probably, and it was never an opportunity. This game, to me, is a huge character test. It's not interesting. I'm not interested in what they're going to do today. To me, it's just for them, an afternoon game after the homestand where they got 2 of 4 points, but they really stunk up the joint. This is a really important game. And it's not just because to stay in the playoff race. They're only 1 point out of the playoffs right now. It's still early. But it's the fact that you know you're going to come back at home for 3 games against hard competition. And it's an afternoon game, which we know that some players have difficulty getting up for. That's why it's important.
I mean, Drew, where do you want me to go with this?
Well, take it where you got the passion in you. I know you got the passion in you. You got a burn inside of you that's not happy right now. Let it out. It's not paying rent.
The lack of overall cohesiveness is a concern. And chemistry issue is also a concern. I mean, can we delve into the Lions now, or you want to delve into the Lions later?
Well, I want to delve into the Lions after James Gordon, because that's when we're really going to break it down. But I'm talking about just the team as a whole. The outlook for this team, if they lay an egg today. If they lay an egg today in Ottawa.
Somebody asked me about that this week, you know. Down the road, and we're getting into it to a ton of hypotheticals right now.
Yeah.
But down the road, if they do struggle and they do find themselves outside of playoff contention, you know, what happens? And I ask more rhetorically is, you know, how many of the players that they have are desirable to opposing teams and under the contract terms? I mean, can you find somebody to eventually trade Ponikarovsky or Antropov or Wellwood to? Quite possibly. I mean, can you get anything more than a 4th-round pick for any of those players? I would not. I would be surprised if you could. You know, would you then consider trading a player like Olli Jokinen? And if so, would his second year of a deal be, would the second year of his contract be a deal breaker for a team looking to acquire somebody big up the middle? All questions that need to be asked. And again, you're talking about hypotheticals there, and they're going to hopefully get these two to defend back. I mean, I guess the other question is, before we go to break, just the defense, the injuries are no excuse, but also just the injuries are weird. What happened to Byfuglien? And I don't know why there's a secret around that.
Well, no, it's not a secret. At the press conference, at practice last Sunday, Claude Wells said that it happened in an off-ice training issue.
Before that Florida game,
he was doing something off ice in terms of training. I don't know if that means stretching or what it is.
I just don't. All the teams are secret about.
Understand why they're secret.
I mean, what? So he stretched his groin out and hurt it when he was running. Just tell us that so we know. Bogosian, yeah. I mean, the Jets have to be disappointed about that.
You're saying because he waited so long to have the surgery.
How different is their season right now? If he's playing, and he had surgery in what, September?
Something like that.
Season ended in April?
Yeah.
And it's a big concern, Richie, because not only do they need him, We all know. He's a top four defenseman. Zach Bogosian coming up is a huge restricted free agent, and now he might only play 20 games. That's a huge deal as well. He, as far as what Chevy's going to have to do in the offseason, signing Bogo is going to be a huge part of his offseason.
Well, he's got to also determine, you know,
what's he worth.
The players coming off the books: Andropov, Wellwood, Ponikrovsky, all those guys. And I know the fans will be sad to see them go, but that money very well gets reinvested quickly into current players. And is that the path they want to take? Many questions. We'll learn a lot about many parts of this team going forward.
The next 35 games,
and
or so.
even if it involves constant struggle, you will still be able to glean some certain information about this team on a go-forward basis.
Let's go to break. When we come back, James Gordon of the Ottawa Citizen joins us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, TSN 1290 and McPhillips Toyota Winnipeg Jets. Two hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/illegalcurve. And our website with your latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is www.illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Let's welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's our good friend from the Ottawa Citizen, James Gordon. James, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing very well. Thanks very much for joining us bright and early there in the nation's capital. James, obviously, since we last spoke 3 weeks ago when the Sens were here to start the season, there's the big news out of the nation's capital has been the loss of Jason Spezza to injury. You know, first and foremost, how has the team responded in the face of that adversity with Spezza going down at least for the next couple of months?
Not too bad, actually. I mean, they obviously haven't been scoring at the same clip that they were when they kicked off the season, and some of that, you know, the early season bump may have been from facing certain teams, but they've kind of continued to get their offense by committee, so to speak, and getting some contributions from some people you wouldn't expect, like the Chris Phillips and Jim O'Briens of the world. So they actually haven't done too badly, and you know, that's reflected in their spot in the standings. It could be a lot worse, and you know, having a goalie like Greg Anderson in net also can gloss over some of the offensive problems that they might be having. So they're holding up okay. We'll see how it goes for the next couple months, but now I think they're pretty happy with where they are.
James, when Jason Spezza, it was announced that Jason Spezza was going to have to undergo hip surgery, the Senators recalled Stefan DaCosta, and then Mika Zibanejad is now playing, starting. Who, as far as you're concerned, who's the guy that has to step up? You know, it's easy to for you know, an outsider to look at Kyle Turris as he slots into the number one line center role, but who do you has to step up? Is it guy? Is it Turris? Who has to fill the void? Even though it's kind of impossible to fill the void of a guy like Spezza.
Well, Turris is the guy that, you know, sort of inherited the number one center job. And I think you see a bit of that extra attention, I guess, that he's gotten that would have gone towards Jason Spezza. And Turris had a really strong start to the season and has fallen off a little bit. So, you know, here's a guy who was a former top three pick and is reaching an age where they need him to step up and be a main guy. Is he ready to be a number one center? It looked that way at the start of the season, but again, with the extra attention that he's getting, he's not scoring quite as much. And, you know, with DaCosta and Zibanejad, you know, you would, they each have different reasons of why you kind of would expect them to step up. I mean, DaCosta's been around for a little while now. He's done his time in the minors, and when they signed him, they had a plan for him to be able to be a number two center someday. So it's time for him to prove whether or not he belongs in the league. And with Zibanejad, I mean, it's just the pressure that comes with being the sixth overall pick. I mean, they obviously see a big future for him, and he's by default one of their more exciting prospects. So, you know, this is a chance for him to show that. I mean, there were some doubts about him as a pick because He went back to Sweden. He played for a really bad team, but didn't have a very strong year anyways, and has battled some injury problems early this season. So for him, it's a chance to showcase that, you know, they made the right pick, and he belongs up here.
James, you know, last year when the Tourist trade was made, there was a fair amount of criticism of the deal from Ottawa's perspective, and that David Rimblad looked like he could be that, you know, to kind of slot in behind Erik Karlsson and lead another line of offensively creative defensemen. Trade obviously looks pretty good right now, and it is early, but do you think Brian Murray's maybe getting a little bit more credit now than he got that day?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. There was a lot of, discussion about what happened with Turris and Phoenix and, you know, the disputes that they had there. And with Rundblad, I mean, part of the criticism that comes with some of these trades is, I mean, how much the Senators, you know, like to pump up their own prospects. So Rundblad was the top defenseman in Sweden the year before. He looked like kind of a can't miss, and that's how the team presented him. So when they let him go, obviously there was going to be some questioning of that, and going for Turris, who had yet to prove himself to be, you know, kind of the player that everybody thought he would be. And again, with the perceived attitude problems, I mean, that's something that as soon as he arrived in Ottawa, I think everybody kind of saw wasn't the issue with him. I mean, he's not this kind of prima donna that he was made out to be in Phoenix. He's a very soft-spoken kid and seems like a good guy. So with the contributions he's made and the way he's stepped in, sure, I mean, it's looking like a pretty good trade right now. You know, what it looked like bad in 5 years, who knows, but for now, for sure, they're getting some deserved credit for pulling that one off.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by James Gordon of the Ottawa Citizen. James, you know, you can't talk about the Ottawa Senators this year without talking about Craig Anderson. He's been absolutely dynamite, a .950 save percentage, a 1.49 goals against average in 10 games played so far. You know, unrealistic to expect he's going to keep it up to this pace, but is Craig Anderson quickly becoming one of the more underrated goaltenders in the NHL?
I think he's been one of the underrated goalies in the NHL for a long time. You know, like, I think we discussed this, you know, when I was on at the beginning of the season. I really feel like, you know, the trade Brian Elliott for Anderson was one of the all-time great thefts, even though Anderson's contract was up and all that. But it gave the Senators an inside track on someone who I really felt was a legit, you know, number one kind of top 10 goaltender in the league. He showed it with the young Colorado Avalanche team. And, you know, when he was in Florida, really felt like if he wasn't playing behind a strong goalie, he would have been the number one there earlier than he was. So, but I think this year you're seeing him kind of reach a new peak for him. And I think he's convincing a lot of people that he is that kind of elite goaltender. I mean, he has to do it for the whole season to really convince some of the doubters. But he's certainly on the right track right now. And, you know, he's one of the reasons that the team is doing so well. You know, like I mentioned, without Jason Spezza and with an offense that isn't really dominant like it was last year.
James, you mentioned Spezza, and another injury that happened earlier was to Jared Cowan. He's gone for the season. And then Mike Lundin was injured earlier, and I believe he's coming back. He'll be in the lineup today, though?
Yeah, he played the last game, so he's back now. He actually just had twins, so he missed practice yesterday, but I think he's expected to be in today.
And the Sens have been using Peter Wierkoch and Andre Benoit. How have they been doing filling in as guys that are really getting their first full-time NHL duty?
Not bad. I mean, there's been some flipping in and out of the lineup, and they got some extra time with Mark Borbiewski, too. With Sergei Gonchar going out for a couple games here and there. So, you know, I think they've done what's expected of them, and that's, you know, get their feet wet in the league, you know, don't make too many mistakes, be reliable. And, you know, they haven't been, I think you find with a lot of young defensemen, you'll see a lot of sort of egregious mistakes on the ice that turn into goals, but these guys have been pretty steady. They've been trying to keep it simple and really just filling the gap, and that's what the team really needed from them. It's just You know, you don't need to be a superstar right away, but also, you know, be reliable and don't be, you know, a problem.
James, have you seen any changes in Paul McClain from last year, his first as an NHL head coach, to this year?
Changes in Paul McClain. I'd say he's a little more serious, but I wouldn't go much further than that. I mean, he seems to be, you know, he hasn't changed too much. When you're a Jack Adams finalist, you've got a pretty good thing going. So, no, I mean, he's holding true to his philosophies. He wants a team that plays 200 feet and skates hard and you know, is tenacious. And obviously he has the player's ear still. So, no, I wouldn't say he's changed too much.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by James Gordon of the Ottawa Citizen. Now, James, we spoke about Mark Methot. He was acquired in the offseason by the Senators. You know, and he plays with Erik Karlsson, and we know that Karlsson's one of the most dynamic young defensemen, if not the most dynamic young defenseman in the game. You know, how has Methot and the steadying influence that he brings to the Senators sort of helped Erik Karlsson with his development this year?
He's been really great, actually. I mean, there was some concern that when Philip Kuba left, and I know Philip Kuba doesn't have a lot of super fans here, but he was a steady guy. He's a guy who played with Karlsson for a long time, and there was obviously a comfort level there. I mean, he was his defense partner for a Norris Trophy season, so obviously something was going right there. But Methot's come in. He's a good skater for a big player, and you know, he can be that defensive conscience when Karlsson really wants to go. I mean, Karlsson, I think, as a player, is more aware of his defensive responsibilities ever been. I mean, he's had to step up this year with some of the injuries, and, you know, he's killing penalties, and he's doing stuff that kind of wasn't expected of Erik Karlsson before. But Methot is just, he can keep up. He knows when to hang back and let Karlsson do his thing, and he's really been really great for him. It's really worked out well for them. So, yeah, I mean, they obviously need a few games to work out the chemistry and knowing where to be at what times, but I think they're pretty happy with how it's going right now.
James, Milan Mihalik only has 2 goals this year, and they're obviously expecting bigger things from him. Have you had a chance to talk to him and find out what's going on? Is it just, you know, the question of the puck's not going in for him, kind of like, you know, a little bit like Phil Kessel in Toronto, or what's going on? Are they just waiting for him to break out in Ottawa?
Well, that's how it goes. I mean, with goal scorers, sometimes you're going to have times where you score a ton and then you go through some droughts, and that's to be expected. It doesn't help when you're kind of number one center who you've been playing with for a long time is out, and you're adjusting to different players. But, you know, I don't think there's much panic about that stuff right now, just because the team is continuing to get points in the standings. I think right. It would be much more, you know, front and center if they were losing some of these close games that they're still winning. So, but, you know, for the most part, he said it's just a confidence thing. You know, once you get one or two here and there, then that comes back, and then goal scoring starts to become, you know, almost easy, and that's his words. So I think with him, it's just a waiting game right now, and you know, once he gets comfortable with a center and that, I'm pretty sure it'll come back.
James, final question here. You know, Sergei Gonchar gets a fair amount of criticism, and I guess has over the years, for the drawbacks of his game, or the strengths, you know, are certainly evident. He's been paired for the most part with Chris Phillips, who we mentioned earlier. That veteran pairing seems to just be a really solid 3-4, and can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, they're a pairing that's had its ups and downs defensively, too. But, again, 2 veteran players you can throw out there, and they're not going to be intimidated by another team's top lines. And Gonchar, you know, he's getting up there in age, but he still has the ability to make the right decisions on the power play and contribute offensively. And yeah, I mean, you've got Karlsson and Methot, who are kind of young guys who are have become the marquee guys, and Gonchar and Phillips are just you know, a solid pair that you can rely on. You have a pretty good top 4. It's the last last two slots there that I think they're still trying to figure out. And they'll see again Lundin today and try and round it out. But for sure, I mean, they're not going to steal the show anymore, Phillips and Gonchar, but they're fairly reliable.
James Gordon from the Ottawa Citizen, thanks very much for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, and enjoy today's game.
Yeah, no problem. You too, guys.
Take care, James. Thanks very much. Let's go to break. You're listening to TSN 1290, McPhillips Toyota Game Day, here on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thank you to James Gordon of the Ottawa Citizen for having just joined us. This segment of the program is brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the Linden Market Dental Center. Whether an elite athlete or a weekend warrior, wearing proper protective equipment is a must. A proper fitting, custom-made mouth guard designed for you by Dr. Les Rikus and the Linden Market Dental Center is an essential part of your protection. In two short appointments, you can get your own custom-fitted mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. Contact the Linden Market Dental Center at 204-487-2226 or online at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com.
I like how Les accepts elite athletes and weekend warriors.
Yes.
Because I am clearly not an elite athlete.
Nor are you a weekend warrior.
I'm a weekend warrior. Weekend warrior.
Weekend warrior is sort of a euphemism for somebody who does athletic things on the weekend.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that had to do with athletics. Yeah. I thought that meant me and Reem at the green room. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's a different kind of weekend warrior. And
Reem and I at the green room.
You don't need a mouth guard for that. You need a different kind of protection for that, but that's a separate issue altogether. And we're not even going to go
You need
there.
A visor.
Anyways, the Jets-Sens game gets underway at 1 o'clock today on TSN 1290. McPhillips Toyota game day here on the station. Hustler and Lawless follow us at 10 a.m. Rick Ralph and the official Winnipeg Jets pregame show.
Huss is a weekend warrior. He knows what that means.
Are you done now?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Forward lines for today's game are going to be changing, at least for the Winnipeg Jets, simply because the previous forward lines had done absolutely nothing.
That's true.
So it sounds like we're going back to the future. Head coach Claude Noel is reuniting the Ladd, Little, Wheeler line. Supposedly, this is based on line rushes yesterday at practice, so it could change again. But generally, what you see yesterday is going to be what you see today because there is no game day skate. Evander Kane is going to be on the left wing with Olli Jokinen centering and Nick Antropov on the right. Pana Karovsky is on the left with Burmistrov in the middle and Wellwood on the right. And then the right Slater Thorburn line stays the same. That's been the only sort of consistent line throughout the course of this year. Well, let's start with this question first. What do you think about reuniting Ladd, Little, and Wheeler yet again this season?
It's safe. It's a safe move. He knows what he'll get from Ladd, Little, and Wheeler, and that's a safe move. So to me, Claude Noel feels like these games are must-win games and wants to know what he will get out of a certain line. That's, to me, the reason why behind this. I mean, I would like to see the line of Kane, Little, and Wheeler together. I thought that in their fairly brief periods together last year, that line was able to put a ton of pressure on teams in transition with their collective speed because all three are great skaters. And I would like to see that line get a shot. And then you can move maybe a little slower line like Ladd, Jokinen, not slow skaters, but slower than the first line, Ladd, Jokinen, and maybe Antropov or something like that together. On a second line, that's what I would like to see. But Claude Noel to me is going to that safeguard of I know what I'm going to get from Ladd, Little, and Wheeler, and I know what to expect. So if I can get something from Jokinen and Kane, which you'd say they probably do, then we'll take our chances against an Ottawa team that has missing their top center and will likely have trouble scoring for the next 2 months.
Yeah, and Claude Noel has his reasons for switching up these lines. He's not happy with. And he shouldn't be with the way some of his forwards have been playing. And Richie, I like the way Burmy was playing with Ladd and Little. And you mentioned Brian Little. He's been good for a couple of weeks now. He was one of the better forwards on the road trip as well, you know, which is nice to see because he struggled over the last few years. But, you know, it's to me, you're in a situation now where the two most important guys that you need to get going are Kane and Jokinen. I mean, Kane started off the season playing absolutely great, and he hasn't been scoring lately. And is it going to change now by moving Bermy off that line and then putting Wheeler back on that line? I don't know. I actually thought that, you know, Kane and Wheeler on the wings was doing well, and you might want to stick with it. But you have a situation where really not one single line is giving you consistent scoring. And that's a big concern, and that's why they're doing this. But I don't necessarily know that that's going to work out. And I think a guy that is going to suffer is now Bermy is going down to the third line. And I think you're not necessarily punishing him, but you're changing something that was working out. And
Hang on. Richard shook his head and sighed audibly. So I want to hear what his response to that comment.
Audibly, not silently.
Yes.
I actually think Bermistrov is more well-suited to a third-line center role because I think he's pretty defensively efficient. I think he can skate. He's pretty strong on the puck. And his offensive game, to me, hasn't really developed at all. And if it ends up being that he tops out a little bit more of a depth player, but still with a certain amount of skill, and takes on a responsibility of, I'm going to be that, you know, maybe he gets in his head, I'm going to be the best defensive center in this hockey club.
The shutdown guy.
Who had some offense. I'm going to be the best defensive center. I mean, that's a big admission, and I don't think he's mature enough to do that. But I think that's probably what Claude's thinking right now is, hey, you know what, I can trust Bermistrov defensively for the most part. Yep. And I know that he'll get the puck and he'll probably do some stupid plays with it. But overall, I think, you know, he can create some offense and I can slot him into that second slot. Plus, there's not as much pressure there. And he's still playing with guys in Ponikarovsky and Wellwood who have offensive talent. You know, the Wellwood-Ponikarovsky Bermistrov line in terms of creating offense will have some trouble. You know, Wellwood's not a shooter. Bermistrov's not a shooter. If you're relying on Ponikarovsky to strictly be a shooter, I think you're going to be having some trouble. So if in that respect, you have some concerns. But in terms of the long-term goals of the Jets, maybe they do think that Bermistrov slots in a little bit more as a three. And I don't know. I'm not making a proclamation at this point of his career. But I would hazard to guess that the Jets have certainly considered that option over the past couple months.
Do you like Antropov up on the right side with Kane and Jokinen?
I guess the question, Drew, is, you know, what's the alternative? And I would like to put Little, Kane, and Wheeler together, and then obviously the lines would be changed significantly. If we're going on the basis that they're going with Little, Ladd, Wheeler today, as they have many times in the past, then Antropov with those two players, I don't mind. You know, he's a bigger guy, and he is strong when he decides to exert force, and that's fine. And Kane can skate well enough that he can make up, I think, for some of Antropov's his slow skating ways, and Jokinen moves well for a big guy. So,
does the weakness on the right side is it really obvious when you look at these lines?
It is, because, you know, when we talked before, a lot of people were ready to say, you know, Blake Wheeler's number one right winger, and I didn't think you could make that determination yet. I lean more towards a two, and that obviously creates a big hole because our left side's a lot stronger, and that is a problem, Drew, and it's. That is where a guy like Mietinen would help, sure, but Mietinen's not a second line right winger, so you just have another third line right winger there, and it's a skill thing, and in terms of the draft and in terms of development, it's something they're probably going to want to focus on.
It's a skill thing, but it's specifically offense. I mean, you know, Blake Wheeler has got 4 goals in 10 games, and, you know, he's got 9 points. He's second on the team in scoring. He's had varying degrees of consistency. But you've got a situation where you're playing Alex Bermistrov and Nikolai Antropov. You're switching them from center to right wing. You've been doing that. You've been playing Bermy in between Ladd and Little, and then you've sometimes been using Antro as a center, and then you've also been using him as right wing. So what you have is you have a situation where you don't have a lot on right wing. So the Jets right now are looking for the right mix, and they haven't found it. And that's probably one of the biggest maybe holes that this team has aside from center, because Ole Jokinen was brought in to give them size up the middle and more offense, and it hasn't worked out. And you know that's where this team is that's where right now. I mean, you could point out to those two positions as probably the biggest weaknesses of this team.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the defensive pairings for today's Jets-Sens game. That game gets underway here at 1 o'clock on TSN 1290. McPhillips Toyota Winnipeg Jets game day. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment is brought to you by Carbone Coal-Fired Pizza, home of Canada's only coal-fired pizza oven. Taste the difference at Carbone Coal-Fired Pizza. Pizza baked, well done. You can find them at 1580 Taylor Avenue. You can go to their website, Carbone, C-A-R-B-O-N-E, coalfiredpizza.com. Great specials, looking for a place to watch this afternoon's Jets-Sens game. Carbone Coal-Fired Pizza should be right up at the top of your list of destinations. Check them out. Great pizza. Defense for the Winnipeg Jets undergoing some shuffling as well coming into today's game. You know, by the sounds of it, again, this is based on practice yesterday that occurred in Ottawa late in the day yesterday. Mm-hmm. Toby Enstrom is going to be paired up with Paul Postma. Ron Hainsey is going to be paired up with Zach Redmond, and Grant Klitsam is going to be paired up with Mark Stewart. Your thoughts on the juggling of the defensive pairings?
I don't mind that juggling there. I mean, Redmond's really impressed me with this play. I think Postman's obviously made some turnovers, and he hasn't played extremely well, but there are parts to his game that you have to like in terms of his puck moving and his shooting ability. Takes a little while to get things done, and I think that's going to cost him at the NHL level over the long term. But I think Redmond is the guy who stays in, and I think that once Bogosian and Byfuglien come back, I said this on the post-game podcast I did with Michael on Thursday, Drew, I think Postma and Klitsam come out.
I would think it's pretty clear, and I mean, disagree if you want, but I think it's pretty clear to most observers that Redmond has surpassed Postma and Klitsam on the depth chart of defensemen. He's been a steady player so far in his brief tenure with the Jets.
It goes back to what Robin Short of the St. John's Telegram told us a month ago, saying he was the best defenseman at St. John's.
That was back over the Christmas break.
And I think something else you need to take into account is if you have any question of where does this guy stand or where does that guy stand, it's very simple. You go to the ice time sheet,
yeah,
and you see what Coach Claude Noel and Charlie Huddy have been, how often they've been utilizing that player. And Zach Redmond logging over 20 minutes a game, where Postma and Klitsam are down a double or single digits. And I think that's very indicative of the confidence that the coaching staff has in him. And obviously we know the confidence they have in Byfuglien and Bogosian. So I think that's the decision that's going to... I don't think it's much of a decision, actually. I think it's fairly simple.
One of the things that I've noticed about this Jets D group, and you know this is magnified without Byfuglien and without Bogosian in the lineup, both good guys. Byfuglien's probably more physical. The Jets lack some toughness and some grit mm-hmm. back there. I mean, Enstrom's leading the NHL in defensemen, but he's in points,
yeah.
And he's missing playing with Byfuglien. Look at a guy like Hainsey as well. Hainsey's not the most physical guy, and aside from Mark Stewart, I mean, Klitsam, again, he can lay the big hit, and we've seen that out of him, but what we're seeing is the Jets are having a lot of trouble with bigger teams. And you know, the Jets are again, Hainsey was moved up with Enstrom. And, you know, I thought he hasn't played well. Played that poorly. But the Jets really, they're struggling right now. And as a group, they're struggling defensively. They're not struggling offensively. Redmond has got 3 points in 4 games. And as I said before, he's getting the points, but they're struggling in their own zone. They're running around, and they're not. You know, the penalty kill. A lot of their problems on the penalty kill are they're making it too easy for teams in their own zone.
That's what kills me about the scoring troubles of late, especially for the forwards. Is that sure you have Bogosian and Byfuglien out of the lineup, and that's obviously some offensive. Well, certainly with Byfuglien and Bogosian as well, to a lesser extent, you're missing some offense. But you're replacing those two players with Postman and Redmond. Both players are pretty offensively proficient. So you really shouldn't be losing as much at the forward group, you know, in terms of creating offense. And that's the problem, because those guys aren't as defensively sound as, even Postma is not as defensively sound probably as Buffon, even. He's not as strong. And then Bogosian's, Redmond still has ways to go in terms of, as compared to Bogosian. So you really shouldn't be losing. You're losing offense, but you shouldn't be losing as much offense as the team hasn't been able to create.
You're right, because the back end is still producing points for you, and they've been the ones that have been producing most of the points for the Jets. It's the forward group that is just not able to get anything going, you know, on the score sheet.
Right.
And, you know, for all the criticism that Dustin Byfuglien gets for his defensive game, and we know that he certainly likes to freestyle out there, The absence of his presence, just his presence in his own zone, even though it might be a little scrambly, just the amount of ice that he takes up with his size and the way he's able to affect an opponent's game just by his strength and his positioning, which, again, isn't the most sound. It seems like that almost is accounting for so much of the Jets' trouble in their own zone.
To an extent. I mean, Dustin Byfuglien is a great offensive player, but we need to note that through the first six games he's played, through the first five games at least, which I've watched and took closer detail, Dustin Byfuglien is responsible for a number of goals against, and that needs to be taken into account too. So if you create 10 and you give up 10, you know, you're at zero. Now, you could argue about whether the value is there, and I think there is a certain value that Dustin Byfuglien brings. 100%, Drew, and I understand your point.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like he's a steadying influence to Toby Enstrom to some regard. Toby Enstrom seems very just scrambly without Byfuglien sort of there. Now, it's bizarre to think of it because you sort of think of Enstrom as the steadying influence for Byfuglien, but they work so well together that, you know, Enstrom looks a little lost without Byfuglien next to him.
They're both players who have a fair amount of deficiencies defensively, and their offensive value makes them, you know, they total as you close to, what, over $11 million in cap hit a year. You'd like to be able to see an improvement defensively and in defensive awareness and defensive consciousness. But if you're not going to get that, you need to have lights out offensive play. And the problem I've seen with Enstrom and Byfuglien in a shorter sample size, and Enstrom this whole season, is anything they've given you offensively, they've just given it right back. And if you want to take the next step, you really want to earn that $11+ million, you have to have a better defensive conscience. That's a big part of the job. You're still a defenseman at the end of the day. You're not a forward.
You know, you look at the other defenseman pairing. You know, Klitsam and Stewart are going to play together today.
That's a troublesome pairing, Drew, and you're not playing a lights-out offensive team, so you might be able to get away with it. But Klitsam hasn't played very well, in my opinion.
Yeah. Klitsam has demonstrated that he's probably a seventh NHL defenseman.
Yeah, exactly. And anyway, as you're playing against a team like Ottawa with Stewart, you know, he might have some issues with their speed on the outside. He's not a great skater. And that is a group that could have some issues in terms of coverage. I think Klitsam doesn't always cover the man, or he gets a little bit too over-aggressive at times. So, I mean, that's, if you're going into the season and you're saying, you know, our third pairing was Klitsam and Stewart, you're going into the season thinking, yeah, it's going to be a tough one unless we're loaded in other areas.
You know, you look at this roster, and they, like you said, you know, Ottawa, especially without Spezza, is not the world's most dynamic offensive team. They're still very good offensively. You know, they still have a lot of talent up front, and with Erik Karlsson, the what he provides in offense. But the Jets might be able to escape playing with these six defensemen today to some degree.
Yes. I mean, the issue is when you play Philly, now they have injuries.
Start Tuesday, Friday, Sunday.
Philly has injuries, but then Pittsburgh, and then you have Boston. You're right, Drew. You need Byfuglien and Bogosian back for those games, and they might be back.
Well, Bogosian's in Ottawa, and he was skating with the team. He skated with the team a couple times today, this week. Now, you know, head coach Claude Noel says he's still a ways away. I don't really know how you quantify that or how far away he really would be if he's skating with the team, you know, in practice and everything else. You know, you would expect, I mean, I don't know if Tuesday is a realistic return date for Zach Bogosian, but the team certainly better hope so. And for Dustin Byfuglien, who's supposedly day-to-day with this, you know, lower body injury, you know, again, you need to circle on the calendar that if these guys aren't in your lineup come Tuesday, never mind the Friday game and the Sunday game, it's going to be, you know, it's already going to be an uphill battle to beat those three teams next week. Take away those two defensemen, you're really looking at a Hail Mary.
But even this game, I mean, you know, Ottawa's going to try and outwork you today. They're going to try and cycle you. They're going to try and outwork you. And this is a challenge. I think, to be honest, I think you can put it quite simply. with this defense, you know, defensively, every game is a significant challenge.
Right, and you have to think that, not you have to think, you have to go under the assumption, I guess, even though it's dangerous to go under assumptions, that you're not going to have Bogosian or Bufflin in the lineup, and guys are going to have to play better. It's simple as that. They're going to have to play better as a unit. It starts with the veterans, Hainsey and Stewart, and it trickles down to Postman, Redmond, who maybe they've been given this exposure earlier, and a guy like Redmond wouldn't have gotten the lineup, even though it turns out that he's playing better than Postman, might stay in the lineup once either Bogosian or Bufflin comes back, or both. So it means that guys are going to have to step up their game, and it's not just about points for these guys. It's about the way they're playing defensively, and they've been inconsistent in their own end and breaking out, and they got to be better.
And we haven't even pointed out to the fact that it's very possible Al Montoya draws in for a second start.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Put Montoya in the net instead of Pavlik. You know, what? How does that change everything, besides the fact that it's obviously a goaltender who's not as talented as the starter?
He was fighting the puck a bit, I thought, against the Islanders, pushing out some rebounds. You'd hope that after a game, getting his nerves out of the way and playing on the road, maybe he'll be a little calmer. Playing against a guy like Tavares is always difficult as well. So I would expect actually a better performance from Montoya than we saw the first game.
Well, the Jets better hope so, because if he is in net, and we don't know that for sure, if he is in net and he doesn't really play his A game, the Jets almost have no chance today. Let's go to break. You're listening to TSN 1290. This is McPhillips Toyota Winnipeg Jets game day on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
We're beautiful like diamonds in the sky.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
Like diamonds in the sky.
Shine bright
so
like
Drew
a diamond.
Shine bright like a diamond like earlier in the show, so I thought we should have some fun.
Shine bright like a diamond.
I think this is a good remix. When are the Grammys are tomorrow? Am I nominated?
Best hockey show host to be inserted into a Rihanna song.
This segment is brought to you, fittingly, by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. For over 25 years, Rumors has been Winnipeg's home for the best in stand-up comedy. For a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Final night tonight, Glenn Foster is at Rumors. The 7:45 p.m. show is sold out. Tickets still remain for the 10:30 show. You can give Rumors a call, 488-4520. Or visit them online at rumorscomedyclub.com. A reminder, Rob Schneider at the end of February. Tickets are all sold out for Rob Schneider, so a big thank you to the people of Winnipeg for supporting live comedy at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Gentlemen, 3 hours, a little more than 3 hours, till puck drop of the Jets sends here on TSN 1290. The keys to the game. How do the Jets... I mean, we've been negative today. I think we've been negative based in reality, though. I don't think it's been unnecessarily negative. So how do the Jets win this game today in Ottawa? What do they have to do to beat Ottawa today?
I'm not going to give you the cliches, getting pucks in deep. To me, this is all about hard work and establishing something at the start of this game and not stopping it for the rest of this game. It's about outworking the Ottawa Senators, not because of the fact that they don't have Bogosian, not for the fact that they don't have Bufflin. It's because they haven't been working hard in their own zone, and they haven't been showing the passion that I'd like to see out of this team. So to me, it's hard work. It's doing what you have to do to win a hockey game.
I very much agree with Ezzy on that in terms of, you know, you can throw the X's and O's out the door to an extent. We'll touch on them in a second. But you can't throw them out the door based upon the last couple of games. You need to have a certain amount of heart in this game and show a lot more than you did at those two sleepers at home. You owe the fans more than that, first of all. I mean, most of all. Never mind first of all. Most of all. You owe the fans more than that. In terms of overall X's and O's, I think it's an important... matchups will be interesting in this game. Ottawa's probably going to want to get Carlson and Mathot out against the Lab Little Wheeler line, because that line is together, because it's kind of a speed versus speed, and you can handle that. I think Claude Noel, if he has his way, will try and get Little Ladd and Wheeler out against Phillips and Gonchar, a slower pair.
Try and beat them using the speed on the outside.
And even their bottom pair, a guy like Lundin, you know, the fastest guys. So you're going to try and get, and obviously, you know, top line out, you get second and third pairing. That goes without saying. But it's also, it works well for matchups. You do have the last change, so that'll be interesting because...
Ottawa has last change, you mean?
Yes, yeah. Ottawa's last change, excuse me, Drew. So I think it's important because you feed kind of into what I would assume would be Ottawa's game plan, probably getting Phillips and Gonchar out against the slower line of Antropov, Jokinen, and Kane. And, you know, you want a guy like Phillips out against a player like Jokinen or Kane because it's bigger, stronger, and tougher. So the Jets want to reverse those matchups. Well, I mean, get into the third line. Their top two lines have to perform tonight, this afternoon, excuse me. And it's going to be very important to try and for Claude Noel to try and open his players up a little bit to work to their strengths as opposed to their weaknesses.
How important is a fast start for the Jets? If they get down, you know, a goal, if they give up a goal early in this game or they're down by a couple goals early, you know, obviously it's more difficult to come back when you're losing, but when your confidence is shaken and low as it currently is for the team, how difficult will it be to bounce back at that point?
It's so funny, Richie, like, you know, in hockey games, you know, momentum is a big thing. Momentum changes on a dime, and, you know, starts are always a funny thing. I mean, in Boston, in Pittsburgh, in Washington... Pardon me, in Boston and Washington, they came, overcame deficits and came back. So was a fast start that important? You could argue that it was, or you could argue that it wasn't. I think it's always important, but I also think it's important to have a complete effort. And that's what I think has happened with the Jets these last couple of weeks. The first week was a little bit different, but they haven't been playing 60 minutes. At least they haven't been playing the way they should be playing for 60 minutes. So, I mean, that's a cop-out answer, I guess, Drew, but I think I want to see a full 60 minutes, what would they play the way they want to play the whole game. So start, of course it's important. I always think it's important, but I want to see a full 60-minute effort.
And you can say we're being critical today. I think we're being honest today.
I would tend to agree with
I
honest.
I think there's been five pretty... I mean, you can talk about the Montreal game and say, okay, you know, they blew that one, they didn't play that poorly. Montreal's a good team. But... you've had four really bad performances in a row, and you need to, and you know, X's and O's we just mentioned aside, you need to get focused, and Claude Noel needs to get the attention of this group today. And if he doesn't today, then he gets, again, the trend is not developing. I think its trend is already developed.
Yeah.
I think it would be continuing, and you have to nip it in the bud as quick as possible.
I think we're at the point where it's not an aberration, but it might be, you know, a pattern. And they talk about losing, and it's a snowball effect.
One thing I also quickly want to say before we're off the air is, you know, you hear a lot of people say, well, the Jets play up or down to their competition.
Mm-hmm.
But that works both ways.
Sure.
What do you think Pittsburgh? Do you think Pittsburgh came in all excited and jacked up to play the Winnipeg Jets? I mean, they view them as a outside the playoff team. And they don't take them as seriously. So they play down to their competition. The Jets play up to it. So that argument works both
That's
ways.
Good point.
I don't buy it. You know, Florida, oh, they played down to their competition against Florida. Well, you don't think Florida played down to their competition against the Jets? I don't want to hear that stuff.
You have to play to your you just play the game.
I mean,
the competition's going to do what the competition does. You just almost can't worry about it to some regard. You just have to go out and execute your game plan is your game plan. And yes, there are differences and you look at areas in which you think you can take advantage of a specific opponent.
Sure.
But 95% of your game plan, I don't think, changes from game to game. You're not all of a sudden going to go from a puck possession team to a dump and chase team based on, you know, the whims of your opponent.
Just excuses, I think. And you hear a lot of them when teams don't win, and you have to move away from that, and you have to just start performing. And talk's cheap.
It's very cheap. Let's go.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And cheers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stinks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Richard Pollock, I'll start you for cheers and jeers.
My cheer this week goes to Milan Hayduk. One of the classier guys in the game, was tremendous for many years in the... I guess starting in the late 90s and the early 2000s with the Colorado Avalanche, kind of faded off after the lockout for whatever reason. But before that, playing with guys like Forsberg, was starting off with Sakic and playing with guys like Forsberg, tremendous and a class act. And a guy who's stuck loyal to the Colorado, played 1,000 games with the same team. It's pretty impressive. He's a late-round draft pick in the late 90s, and he's earned his way all the way. Stanley Cup champion. Great job. Kudos to him.
Cheers or jeers?
I'm going to give a cheer to Jonathan Chichu. He's kind of been forgotten about. He scored 50 goals 7 years ago, but he's been unable to crack the lineup. But he's now playing for Oklahoma City in the AHL, and he's up at the top of the list of scorers for Oklahoma City, playing well. Who knows, maybe one day he'll get back into the NHL. But he's always a guy that I liked from Moose Factory, Ontario. So I'm going to give him my cheer because he's stuck with it, and he's finding his offensive game again.
That came out of left field, I must say, but I do like it.
Yeah, I thought of that one a little bit.
I appreciate that. I'm going to wrap up cheers and jeers by cheering something that's going to happen on Tuesday on this station, and that's Bell Let's Talk Day. We're not going to be on air until Wednesday, of course, so we're going to miss out on it. This is our last opportunity to be on air before that terrific initiative takes effect. So Bell Let's Talk Day is coming up on Tuesday, February 12th. Also my mom's birthday, but that's a separate issue altogether. You know, a very important day. One of the best things we do on this station and the entire Bell Media family is that Bell Let's Talk Day. So stay tuned for that coming up on Tuesday. We're always, you know, supportive of it and pleased to be a small part of that initiative.
Absolutely.
That's it for this Saturday morning here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A big thank you to our guests, James Gordon of the Ottawa Citizen and Mike Colligan from HockeyWriters.com. A big thank you to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show sponsors, Carbone Coal-Fired Pizza, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, David Carr of Monopoly Realty, the Linden Market Dental Center, and the CGA, Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba. In case you missed any of the show, it will be available for download on iTunes, on the TSN1290.ca website, and on IllegalCurve.com. Follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and the website is www.illegalcurve.com. We'll be back Wednesday with another episode of NHL Midweek with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. For producer Michael Remus and producer Tim Debenham, for Richard Pollock and for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Hustler and Lawless are next.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk, Saturdays from noon to 3. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, only on TSN 1290, your official home of the Winnipeg Jets.